This feature is brought to you by Higher Health, improving well-being, inspiring success.
The 1st of November, South Africans went to cast their votes at this year's local government elections. And apathy and disillusionment with the current political landscape are some of the reasons why young people did not vote. I mean, a total of 26 million voters were registered, and registered voters, should I say, for the 2021 local government elections, of which only 17.5% were in the age group between 18 to 29, making up 4.6 million. But there was a dismal voter turnout at the polls, especially among the youth. Right? Some reports claim the youth is disinterested in the political climate of the country, and they're more interested in gadgets and the internet. And on the other hand, the reality may be the youth unemployment rate, as young people are perhaps demotivated to vote, as they believe their government has neglected them. With that said, do you think that the manifestos or local government, local governance was inclusive of the youth in the upcoming plans post the elections? And I mean, we have many, many questions around that, right? And we actually have Obakeng Lesenyane, right? He's on the line, and let me just kind of give you a brief bio on him. I mean, it's quite a long one if you actually go through it. But Obakeng is a VITS student, shortlisted for prestigious International Student Award. He's also been part of the 2021 Czech Org inaugural Global Student Prize Top 50 finalists. I mean, the UN Special 75th, Obakeng Lesenyane interviewed the likes of Sarah Brown. He's also done Building the Future of Education, of how to prepare our youth for a new normal. I mean, I could go on and on, kind of giving a thesis of his work, but I feel like let's just have him on the line. Welcome over, King Lesenyane, to That Lunch Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So fantastic. So, I mean, the first question we have is, we obviously saw a general poor voter turnout, right? But actually, especially with the youth during this year's local government elections, why? You know, why are people disencouraged to vote? Or why do people, maybe they just say, I don't even want to register to vote, right? I mean, even for the fact that only 26 million voters were registered, with the country 50 plus million citizens, what does that say to us?
Yeah, I mean, I think the question that you're asking, there's a lot to unpack there. But at the most fundamental level, when you look at since 2014, generally across the country, the like voter turnout has been on the decline from national level to like local level.
Sure.
But at the core of it is there's a lot of young people who are choosing deliberately to stay away from the elections while they are acutely aware that they form a part of our democracy. And that shows us one thing, at least across the board, that there is very little faith in the machinery of government to be able to deliver services. B, it's quite clear that a lot of young people feel that there is lack of political choice. So despite seeing Action SA come through, despite seeing the Good Party and other political alternatives campaign on the ground within different constituencies at large, a lot do not resonate with the missions of those political parties, or B, the people driving those political parties. And the really, really maybe fascinating part about this particular election is, despite having quite a low voter turnout, the people that put themselves forward as candidates across different wards and different metros were largely young people, compared to any other election that we had previously seen. Right? That I'm like, we're dealing with a lot of young people who feel, and they don't just feel, because some of them live in exceptionally marginalized communities where you have seen your grandmother having voted in like 1994, and despite the 20 odd years of this democracy under the incumbent, there is still very little change that has happened under that. So you are sitting and you are evaluating your like options essentially, and a lot of young people are angry and they're hungry, and there is a lot of sentiment, even just like when like we consider ourselves as a university within the campuses, that a lot of debates that happen every single year around funding of higher like education end up excluding so many other young people in those pathways towards economic activity. Even further, you can like think about it in this way, that Treasury cut the budget of the IEC by 8%, which like means that the IEC lost out on around 170 million odd of their like annual budget, which goes towards all of these voter education campaigns, goes towards deploying more stuff on the ground. That I'm like,
Yeah, Obakeng, actually, just sorry to stop you there, but touching on that, right, I was just going to talk to you about the civic and voter education, which you just said. So in terms of the budget being cut, with that being said, was there in a way a mandate to promote voter education towards the youth? So was this program at some point reaching out to the youth, or because of the budget cut, it was kind of like more a generalization thing, like, oh, let's just, you know, send the messages to a general public? But was there any kind of focus towards the youth?
I mean, we understand that most of the eligible voters in this country are young people. One like would assume that it's a no-brainer to put a lot of campaigns and efforts towards that, right? That on the most surface level, that work gets done, but it gets done digitally. We cannot assume that all the young people that are on Twitter in South Africa are all the young people that, like, are there to, like, basically vote. That I'm like, where, like, we often deploy our, like, efforts, there's a bunch of other young people who can't even afford data, that will never even dream of engaging with any political party on Twitter, or don't even know some of these influencers that get paid a lot of money to be on the front pages of these respective campaigns. But I'm like, in the suburbs, in the areas that are close to the economic activity, they often do not seem like there is effort to push voter education. But where, like, it's actually needed the most, in those marginalized communities, in those exceptionally remote areas where sometimes someone doesn't even have an address to be able to partake in, like, elections. Those people see very little of the IEC. At best, they see political parties, which they are now used to that closer to the elections. A lot of these political parties come to campaign on their own merits of just wanting to regain, like, a simple majority within that respective metro or, like, within that respective ward.
So with stemming off of what you just said, right, do you feel that there's sufficient representation of the youth in these political parties, right, from your mayoral candidates, your ward councillors? Could this maybe have an impact if there were fewer a representation of the youth for them not turning up at the elections?
Yeah, look, personally, I hold the view that how we run elections and how we decide who gets a seat in parliament is largely not the most effective way to go about it. Like, proportional representation, which says if you get X amount of votes, you get maybe a seat in parliament, or you get X amount of essentially that as, like, a basis that I'm like, personally, I think we should move to a much more constituency, or, like, almost like a hybrid of both political parties, and being able to allow space for the independent candidates to be able to run. Because we do know that effectively keeping political parties as a vehicle for advance in this country does not work. Because a lot of, just like how we do it, just on the most basic level, we vote for the party, and the party elects individuals into those different seats, right?
Yes.
So, as an individual elected by the party to, like, example, serve as the mayor of Johannesburg, or, like, serve as a ward councillor in Shawela, effectively, you are more liable to the party than to the constituency, because the party put you there, right? But if you consider a world where, as the Constitutional Court gave Parliament the, what do you call it, mandate that we must have an infrastructure that allows independent candidates to be able to contest elections beyond just at, like, the most local level. That I'm like, even if you look at independent candidates that win at the most local level, there's a bunch of issues that they deal with, such as how much funding do they have access to, who's, like, backing them if they're going against them, quite a big political party. That I'm like, effectively, yes, symbolically, it might help us to think that it's great that we have a lot of young people in these respective spaces, but even then, those young people cannot drive meaningful change because of just how the political system works in regards to who are you accountable to, which is even a danger when we have such a lower voter turnout, because if the opposition parties do not grow and people are very much not happy with their incumbent, then it means that the incumbent very much still continues to do what they're currently doing, which does not help young people feel that they are being, they're being represented, and their issues are being brought on the other side.
Obakeng, those are the scary facts to learn, right? And I feel like maybe my last question to wrap it up with, I mean, unemployment rate or youth unemployment rate is at its all-time high, right? And with the economy sort of contracting, do you believe, right, that politics is going to provide solutions? I mean, we can't shy away from the politics that happen between the local government elections. So should we trust that the local government election will assist in curbing that rate, or should we just kind of trust the youth to find a way in themselves to curb it themselves, should I just say?
I think young people may get to a point where they actually burn this country.
Ew.
And like, that sounds quite like ridiculous, but that's what happens when you feel that you're being unheard.
Yeah.
And if like one has like attempted to vote previously and this time they like probably opted out, it's them having not seen a huge like difference. So yes, politics does have a role in advancing service delivery, in creating opportunities for meaningful participation within the economy. But also I think we like just need to be quite honest about how the looting of this country is just so normal. It's like,
yeah, it
I remember the day when Ramaphosa was announcing the budget towards fighting COVID. People were like making jokes on the across digital platforms about how this money was going to be looted, and that's exactly what happened.
Yo.
Right. So, in terms of trust in the machinery of like government, for me, I just have only just like one simple principle that if you're sitting back as a bystander and you do think that there is something that you can do within your respective community to just advance good governance, to just hold people accountable, do it, right? That at the end of the day, a lot of what accountability and good governance looks like, it's efforts of very, very small, thoughtful groups of committed people who like don't see their role just at like a point of election.
Yeah.
But even beyond the elections, we still have a mandate towards strengthening our democracy.
Indeed.
But simply put, I don't think... I think without good governance, which we haven't seen any simple sign of, the chance that young people may be in a better position even come 2024 national elections, it's really, really optimistic. Our GDP growth is at just an all-time high. All-time low, and it just continues to get worse.
Yeah.
So the economy is not growing at the rate that like it should for like a lot of young people to be able to partake in the economy.
Yes.
But once again, if you have an opportunity and you think about how to grow the economy, support small to medium enterprises, because those are the people that employ a huge number of young people in this country. It's not those big corporates, unfortunately.
Yeah, Oba King, thank you so much for coming over and just give us insight on that, right? Very worrying, but also very hopeful in the sense of that something could possibly change, right? We can't always keep our guards down low, our hearts feelings so low. So thank you so much for coming over. We definitely hope to have you soon on that lunch show. I always say that you can make this your home too.
This feature was brought to you by Higher Health. Improving well-being, inspiring success. Follow us on Facebook at Higher Health SA, or visit our website on www.higherhealth.ac.za to learn more about our work.